I have to say, over the years of being a minister, the things that I have found most difficult have been doing the children's bit, but also the public prayers, because one's very conscious that even a congregation of this size and the folks joining us, there are so many situations about which you know nothing, but yet you want to try to bring the prayers of the church family. So that's a great privilege, even if one doesn't do it very well. As I said a few moments ago, I've tried to shape what I want to share with you this morning, and as we share communion, in the light of your announcement, in the light of that Gary will be making later on, in the light of this being Pentecost Sunday, and in the light of us having communion, sharing communion together. And so I was thinking about it, this picture came up in my screen. This picture came up in my mind. The four astronauts who circled the moon there a couple of weeks ago. In their first interview, after they were back on Earth, they said, and I quote, they were bonded together forever. That's hardly surprising given what they'd been through and where they'd been. But here were four totally different people, dependent on each other for what they'd been able to do and to achieve as a team in space circling the moon. Different personalities, very different life experiences, differing gifts and talents, differing backgrounds, but bonded together forever. And of course, behind what they were what they did and was very public, there was a large background teams of engineers and physicists and mathematicians and all sorts of people. A large team working together for an extraordinary goal of circling the moon and coming back again. I want to suggest this morning to the folks, to you folks here in Highkirk, that this is a bit of a modern day parable of what the Church of Jesus Christ could look like and should look like. A large team in Highkirk working together for an extraordinary goal. Picture of you and taken from the internet, and a happy, enthusiastic emoji on the side of it. I would like to think that as a congregation, you would be excited not only about the Lord, but actually excited about the future of Highkirk. I would like to think that you would be keen to be like the Artemis team circling the moon, a large team working together to help others come to know Jesus for themselves. A large team, enthusiastic here in Highkirk, keen to offer gifts and talents to the Lord and to each other to help expand the kingdom in this increasingly godless town. That you folks would be a congregation of believers bonded together in Christ and delighted in that forever bonding. Bonded here and bonded together into eternity. I wanted to actually get you excited. I would like to think it would. Did that motivate you to be bonded together as believers and Christians together in Highkirk, energized, enthusiastic? I would like to think that it would. Maybe I shouldn't say this, but since it was public, I'll risk it anyway. Many of you were at the Getty Christmas concert in Belfast. Come on. What? see how many select people were in? A dozen. Well, it was wonderful. You missed a treat. Well, anyway, really interesting. Keith Getty was doing was asking the audience to participate. And interestingly, he said, don't be like the Presbyterians and be restrained. So this was a worldwide broadcast, and he was picking us out as Presbyterians for not getting excited. Could we actually change that as we head out, hopefully under God, out of a vacancy into a new chapter in High Kirk? Could we actually be excited and enthusiastic to be bonded together forever for the Lord? I would hope so. And that brings me then to say a wee bit about our communion this morning. We'll be reading that famous passage from Paul where he speaks of remembering the Lord's death until he comes. And that's really important, because there's so much to be grateful for. Our salvation initiated by the Lord, initiated by God the Father, achieved by God the Son, brought to us, made available to us day in, day out by God the Holy Spirit. But that brings change. Big change. Life is changed because if we're followers of Christ and with the Spirit in us, we are actually heading in a different direction in life. Let me read a few verses from Ephesians 1. Paul's prayer. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, new light, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. What a phrase. And his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. This is the ball game we're in. The ball game that Paul called the folks in his time to be in. To know the riches of God's glory, of our glorious inheritance, and the incomparably great power for us who believe. Isn't it easy to be earthbound? Isn't it easy to be focusing on what we want here and now? And isn't it easy to have little thought or even desire for the glorious inheritance in heaven which God's power has opened for us? And that brings me to ask a question. A question I ask myself. Please believe me, any preacher worth his salt or her salt will actually preach from his or her own experience. As we come to our communion, where do you actually put your energies? Where do you focus your affections? Is it in work? Are you driven in the work scene to the exclusion of almost everything else? Or family? Or status? Or getting more stuff? Horrible word, but it sums up what so much of what we get is. Where are our affections? Where is the room for heaven? Where is the room for being with Christ and being with the saints? Because that's one of the big consequences of what we celebrate in communion, what Christ achieved on the cross. And I want to suggest that we may well need to ask the Lord to reshape and redirect our affections towards eternity and towards heaven a lot more, rather than simply stay chasing what never satisfies. Comfortable, yep, but rarely showing the incomparably great power that Paul spoke about in those verses in Ephesians. But of course, communion isn't just about being grateful for heaven and what Christ has done for us, as it were, in the future. It's intimately connected with everyday life. Now, this will be familiar territory, but it's important familiar territory. The key Bible word is koinonia. That's the Greek word translated from the New Testament. And in the New Testament, that word is translated in various ways. So as we read our English Bibles, we read these words. We come across the word fellowship. We come across the word communion. We come across the word participation. We come across the word sharing. And every time we do, we're actually reading the same Bible word. Common purpose, oneness, unity, togetherness, fellowship, whatever. This is a key part of the gospel that we share. That we are in this together as one team bonded together forever. Let me take you to the next slide from 1 Corinthians. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a koinonia, a participation in the body of Christ, in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation, a koinonia in the body of Christ, a communion in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf. We are one body. And the bad news and the good news is that we're one body with people who we may not like. Or even worse than that, people who we can't get on with, as well as people who we do like. But fellowship and communion and sharing and koinonia is about being one body, sharing in the one Savior, in the one Spirit, together. One of the great scourges of our modern world, and I go on about, I have a bit of a thing about this, is that we have raised personal and choice to what we worship. Your choice is the only thing that matters. Well, from a Christian point of view, that is rubbish. Being in Christ is not about being individualistic. It is not about being private. It is personal, but it is not private. And there's a very demanding comment from Paul in Scripture that I want to put up on the screen now as we come to our communion. He said this. Let you read it for yourself. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Bonded together. As a visitor, and as a happy visitor to High Kirk this morning, I'm going to ask a question to which I do not know the answer. And that's quite important. But it is a really important question for you folks to answer as hopefully you come to the end of the vacancy. And it is this. What is the state of fellowship and communion and shared lives together like here in Highkirk? What's it like? How many out of 10 would you give it, if I can put it like that? What is the state of your fellowship collectively and in smaller groups? What is the state of your communion with others? What does shared life look like here in Highkirk? I can't answer that question, but it's one of the enduring questions I would love you to take from our communion service this morning. What is the state in Highkirk of being bonded together? What I do know is that if we are Christian believers who keep ourselves to ourselves, if we are Christian believers who have very limited fellowship, very limited communion with other members of our church family, that puts us in a bad place. I have a friend who came to faith a couple of years ago. I'm going to need to be careful here. He connected with a local church, and within 6 months he had left that church and doesn't go anywhere, won't be at any congregation worshipping anywhere this morning, but of course would still claim that he's a follower of Jesus Christ. Not good. Not good. So what is the state of our fellowship here in Highkirk? That is the biggest contribution that you folks can make to a new minister as they arrive here in Highkirk, hopefully in the not too distant future. Let me finish with a personal example. A couple of weeks ago, my wife Evelyn asked me this question. She said to me, if you needed to talk to someone in Ballylochan, who would that person be? That's a really good question. Leaving out the minister, let's not go to talk about the staff. Who's the person you would talk to in Highkirk? I'm glad to say I was able to give an answer to that question. But I have no difficulties in asking you that same question as we come to share communion together. If you needed to talk to somebody in Highkirk, who would that person be? And would they know that you'd be glad to talk to them? And if we are struggling with that, then on Pentecost Sunday, the power of the Spirit of God is available and needed to help you from being trapped in isolation. So can we call on the Spirit of God this morning, individually and collectively, to bring the power that raised Jesus from the dead to our communion so that it is real and uplifting and a real blessing and the basis of being bonded together, not only with the Lord, but with one another. So are we committed to bonding forever with others in Christ? Are we delighting in the glorious inheritance brought to us in Christ? Are we actually committed to sharing our lives together with one another, even when that's demanding? Are we committed to koinonia, deep fellowship, as an ordinary part of everyday life? Let's pray. Lord, we are profoundly grateful for this morning, for all the elements of this morning, the privilege of meeting together, praying together, worshiping together, sharing communion elements together, talking with one another, whatever. We pray that this day, under the Pentecost Spirit, really will be a mega good day in the life of High Kirk and for each and every one of us. And so we pray, as we always do, in Jesus' name.